And good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. I'm your host, Dave Callender. Thanks for joining us for 2 hours of informative radio with your questions answered. And kicking things off this Saturday, back to the program, Kevin Power and Ann Turner are here from Power Mortgages. Hello.
Hi, Dave. Glad to be back.
Good morning, Dave. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a lovely autumn morning, and I'm rip-roaring to go with some good radio. How about you?
Well, yeah. I'm just rip-roaring.
Okay. I'm just glad to see some sun for a change.
Yeah, don't get used to it, though, because as Kevin was telling me, autumn is only a prelude to what comes after it. But we'll enjoy the day. It's going to be a good morning. We've got some good discussion planned. And throughout the hour, if you have questions for Kevin or Ann, give us a call. The lines are open at 519-570-2545, out of town at 1-800-570-5715, or *570 on your cell phone. So a lot has happened in the economy and in the news and the financial sector this summer. I think everyone's aware of that. Some of it was good. Some of it was not so good. Alarming might be a word for it. So where is the industry going now that the dust has settled around the economic crisis that led to the recession that we are still in? So that's what we're going to be discussing today on the show. So I guess the first question is, what's happening in the mortgage industry in this new economy?
Well, you know, the whole financial sector is bothering me right now. We have heard in the news that the banks have a ton of money, so now they're going shopping, and they're going to start buying up other banks. This is all this loose cash that they have hanging around that they never had, of course, for such a long time to put out on mortgages and consumer loans. But magically, they now have a huge bankroll of it, and they're going shopping in other countries for banks in distress or financial institutions in distress. So the good news is that our banks are, and always have been, extremely healthy, that their balance sheets are healthy, and this is what Canada's been telling the world, and it's true. So that's good news. Our financial sector is just about as healthy as any financial sector can be. The other good news is that, as reported in the Record on the 25th of this month, the recession in Canada is over.
Over.
In the real estate market, it's over. There has been steady increases in sales, and the market has now turned from being a buyer's market back again to being a seller's market. And that's a clear indication that it's over in real estate. Also, the prices of housing is starting to move up again. And in fact, the prices of houses are back to their record high, their 2008 record high levels already now in 7 out of 11 markets across Canada. And I dare say that would be true in this area as well. So for those people who thought they were going to sit and wait for the market to bottom out, you've missed it. It's bottomed, and it's now on the upswing again. But the really good news is that there are record low interest rates right now in the mortgage industry, and they're going to stay that way for quite a while yet. So for those people who are not in the housing market as of yet, this is still a good time. The real estate market isn't red hot yet, and it is just starting its climb upward. So now's the time to start looking, because interest rates are really low, and you can hold that rate. The Bank of Canada says it's going to keep its overnight rate at the current 0.25% until June of next year, which will affect all those variable rate mortgages. So those people sitting with a variable rate mortgage can safely sit where they are on a variable rate and not have to convert it into a fixed term until they like the rate somewhere between now and next June.
And the amazing thing about interest rates is that on the consumer end, they've actually come down. The determining factors, bond market yields that typically determine interest rates, have actually not changed. What we have seen is that typically in years gone by, lenders would work off a markup of 135 to 150 basis points over the five-year bond market yields and five-year fixed-term mortgages.
That means 1 to 1.35%.
That's correct. Well, it's basis points. So
they call it basis points, but 100 basis points makes 1%. That's what most people understand.
Mm-hmm. So So with going back to late last year and early this year, because of the turmoil in the markets, lenders had actually increased their pricing to the 220 to 225 basis points range. And what we have seen recently is that the determining factors of interest rates have not changed. However, the lenders are taking less spread, and as a result of that, interest rates are now almost back to the historical lows that we had in the spring in May and June. So we'll get into the rates a little later in the show, but pretty exciting interest rates again.
Okay, and I'd like to go on and say that there are some other things that are bothering me about what's happening in the financial markets. One is the Ontario government, without a word of anybody, I mean, I just felt like I was slapped upside the head with this news last spring, is that we're bringing the HST into Ontario. There has been no public debate about whether it's good for us or bad for us. It's just got signed, and there's nothing we can do about it. From everything I've read, there is no way that Ontario can back out of it. And yet that was just sort of slid by us. And what that means for people who are in the mortgage industry, that housing above $400,000 will now be paying provincial and federal tax on it. So instead of GST and getting that GST rebate and stuff, no, you're going to be paying 13% on the property that you buy. So that's another incentive to buy before next July, because after that you're going to be paying this HST on your property if it's above $400,000. And given that the average price of a home in Canada now is at something like $312,000, it's not going to be too hard for a lot of Canadians to be just above that over the $400,000 mark. Also, something that has never been taxed in the past is a broker fee. Now, we'll talk about broker's fees later on, too, but in the past, normally when we're compensated, we are compensated by the lender. On occasion, if it's a commercial deal or it's a person that has very bad credit and we cannot get a lender to pay us for the deal, then that person has to pay a broker fee to us. That broker fee will now be subject to the HST, which means on top of the broker fee, that person will now be paying an extra 13%. So people that are already struggling and having to pay a broker fee to even get a mortgage are now going to be paying one that is 13% higher because of this tax. Our financial service was never taxed at either level of government, provincial or federal, and it now will be. And that is going to really fill up the coffers, I think, of the government. The other thing that's bothering me, Dave, is the swipe fees on credit cards. And Canada follows the Americans in terms of the amount of credit card debt and that sort of thing. The Americans are paying $427 a year in higher costs on products that they purchase, whether you use a credit card or not, because of these credit card swipe fees. And in Canada, it is approximately the same amount, that the cost of products that you buy is increased on an average per Canadian of just over $400 because of credit card purchases and that 1.5% to 2% charge for each transaction that credit card companies make. And this industry is totally unregulated in North America. Now, the European Union pays 0.5%
okay
for swipe fees.
So this is, let me see if I understand this correctly. This is the a markup that all retailers put on their goods, whether you use a credit card or not, to cover the fact that they pay credit card fees to the credit card companies.
That's correct.
Well, isn't that keen? I didn't know that. I didn't even think about that.
I know, but as a former retailer, I know that they did. Now, 20-some years ago, it was about 0.5% when I was doing some retail. But now, it's up at 1.5% in Canada and 2% in the U.S. Some of the highest swipe fees in the world in Canada and the U.S.
Wow. Okay. Well, nothing we can do about that, I don't think.
Well, yes, we can get that industry regulated in Canada.
Okay.
Like they have in Europe and Australia and other countries in the world, get it regulated so that there is a limit to how much they can charge in swipe fees. I mean, in the U.S., last year they made $48 billion in swipe fees. In Canada, it was $4.5 billion just in swipe fees.
Okay.
That gets me excited. You know,
well, I got a big question. Do we now have to pay HST on the swipe fees?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
I learned so many things on this show, some of them good and some of them just kind of depressing. All right, well, those are two things that are bothering you. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, maybe I'll ask, like, is there anything really that we can do about them or protect ourselves from them? And, well, of course, we'll continue to talk about what's going on in the housing market here in Waterloo Region. If you've got questions for Kevin or Ann, do give us a call. The lines are open at 519-570-2545. Out of town at 1-800-570-5715 or *570 on your cell phone. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. You can learn more online at powermortgages.ca or give them a call at 519-886-1993. More of Ask the Experts in just a few minutes here on 570 News. Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm Dave Callender. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. Throughout the show, give us a call with your questions at 519-570-2545. Out of town at 1-800-570-5715 or *570 on your cell phone. Just before we get back to the topic of the day, it's time for Kevin's Ask the Experts Power Mortgages show rate specials, almost like free, he tells me.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. And in keeping with what we normally do with our interest rates, these are for new customers only, subject to credit qualification, 5-year fixed-term mortgages today, 120-day closing, 3.89%, 30-day quick close special, 3.79%. And in keeping with the super, super Dave interest rate special, we will do for the first three callers on a 30-day closing. So if you have a purchase, a refinance, or a switch transfer coming due in the next 30 days, we'll further discount that interest rate to 3.69%. All you have to do is call me after the show and say that Super Dave said to call and take advantage of this interest rate.
I don't think I'd like that one, Dave.
We're offering 10-year interest rates at 5.20% with 120-day closing. We'll further discount it to 5.10% for 30-day closing. And we have our ever-favorite and ever-popular variable rate mortgage that we've now gone from a prime plus scenario to prime minus. And we are at prime minus 0.10%. So 1/10 below bank prime. Bank prime today is at 2.25%. So we can help you out with a great interest rate on a variable at 2.15%.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
And knowing that that rate is going to be held till next June.
So if you'd like to take advantage of these rates, and you don't have to mention Super Dave, but you can if you want, call Kevin right after the show on his cell phone at 519-240-2967. That's 519-240-2967. So just before the break, Ann was telling us, she was getting some stuff off her chest, telling us what was bothering her, and now, of course, it's bothering me, too. Is there anything else, Ann, that's on your mind these days, and what can we do to help protect ourselves from these sort of things?
Okay, this one we're going to have to talk fairly carefully about, but in the last month or so, we've had some things come into our office that have been very disturbing for us. One involves broker fees that we have seen charged, and more than one. And the broker fee has been astronomical, in the range of plus $10,000 on a $200,000 mortgage. And this broker fee involved a brokerage and a bank.
I think what we should say is allegations or alleged.
Alleged, okay.
Well, in any event, we've seen this twice with the same lender and the same broker. And we have never, no matter how bad the client has been, charged a 7-8% broker fee. When it's really bad, I think we might charge 1%. So to us, this huge brokerage fee is problematic, and we don't feel that those people should have been paying that kind of money. Once again, we're back to people who can least afford it, paying huge, huge, huge brokerage fees, hand in glove with a lender. And at times, this is also tied into a cash back formula, where the money comes from cash back on that mortgage, and the client isn't even aware that it came from cash back, wasn't aware that they had signed to get cash back, and that cash back went to the brokerage person.
The common denominator on what we've seen on these allegations is people who did not qualify for a mortgage is the basic common denominator under the general underwriting guidelines due to issues with proof of income or paperwork that would support the actual borrowing. And under the normal underwriting guidelines, clients just did not qualify. And what they had found out afterwards is that somebody apparently in a collusionary effort that involved the efforts of a so-called mortgage agent, a bank employee that had bent the rules or bent the paperwork to get somebody approved for a mortgage, and they did it with a cash back offer, but instead of this cash back offer being distributed to the actual borrower who is responsible to repay it, were actually made payable to, contrary to agency law, the funds from the lawyer's office was made payable to the mortgage agent, not the mortgage brokerage, and nobody really seems to know how these funds or where these funds got dispersed after the fact. Now that interest rates have dropped, and these same clients, who now would qualify for a mortgage in most cases, want to renegotiate their mortgage, and what they are finding, in addition to the standard penalty that they would pay, which in a lot of cases today, depending on which interest rate it was booked at, because interest rates have dropped and are now in an interest differential calculation, in addition to standard penalty, they're also faced with a clawback on this cashback that was part of their loan setup that they never ever received. So therefore, the unhappiness is now starting to arise, in that they're finding out that they really are paying this this huge, huge fee of anywhere from 5-7% on getting the mortgage paid or getting the mortgage arranged for them, and nobody really wants to seem to talk to them, either at the brokerage level or at the bank level. And in the cases that we have seen so far, that the agents that participated or allegedly participated in this whole thing are either no longer in the industry or no longer employed at the brokerages that they were representing at the time.
Yeah, and there's a strategy for people with bruised credit that we'll talk about later. One other thing that we've seen that's bothered us is someone who wanted to put a mortgage on their house but was talked into a line of credit instead. The line of credit, of course, carries a higher interest rate. But when you put a line of credit on your house like that, what in fact happens is you may have a line of credit worth $200,000 and your house is worth $400,000. That line of credit takes up all the equity in your house, is registered as a $400,000 lien against the property, not $200,000. So the person is paying a higher rate of interest and cannot get any kind of mortgaging across done on their house because it is has this lien against them up to the full amount.
Wow. Okay. That doesn't sound good either. We'll continue. Hold that thought. We will continue with this when we come back. We have to take a short break. In the meantime, folks, if you've got questions for Kevin and Ann, do give us a call. The lines are open at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570 on your cell phone. My guests today, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. Go online to powermortgages.ca. News is next, then we'll be back with more here on 570 News.
Friday.
And we are back. Thanks for joining us. This is Ask the Experts. I'm Dave Callender, and my guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can give their offices a call at 519-886-1993. Or you can call them right now. If there's something on your mind, if you've got a question, give us a call at 519-570-2545. Out of town at 1-800-570-5715. Or *570 on your cell phone. Just before the break, we were talking about some other things that have come across the desks at Power Mortgages that have caused some concern for Kevin and Ann. And did you want to continue with that? Is there something else you wanted to add?
Well, what I do want to talk about is how do you protect yourself from these abuses? I mean, right down from credit card swipes to unreasonable brokerage fees and products that you really shouldn't be into, is that always be thinking, no matter who it is you're doing business with, whether it is one of the big five banks or it's a small credit union or it's a brokerage or a realtor or a retail outlet, whatever, always remember that everybody is in business to make money. And it's how that company or person goes about making their money and what they think is a satisfactory margin of profit for doing so. And some are better at taking your money than others. And so look into it. In the case of where you're getting charged a huge brokerage fee, if you're being charged over 1% brokerage fee on anything, I think you better go out and start looking at other brokers and asking their opinion of what it is you should be paying and how difficult it would be to get this deal done. Don't accept that one person's bit of advice, because sometimes people are forced because of their financial circumstances into going to a broker because absolutely nobody would look at them otherwise unless that broker presented that case. So if you're being quoted a huge brokerage fee like that, go to another broker and find out what they're going to charge. If a lender is quoting you a rate that you think is high, if they're offering you a product you don't think you need, then go somewhere else and ask. Because in today's business climate, lenders are there, banks are there, not just to sell you a mortgage, because that's where they make the least amount of money is on their mortgage products. But they make huge money on their consumer loans, on their life insurance, on their investment products, on their credit cards. You know, so they're there to sell you not just their mortgage, because that is a product that's being sold. They're there to sell you other things that will bring up their bottom line. So if you don't want those other things and you want to make individual decisions, you don't want to throw it all into one pot and take whatever's given to you, then go and shop it around. You know, quite frankly, the best person for shopping that deal around is a mortgage broker if it's a mortgage product that you're looking for.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some of the things that people run into is that they're not really proficient. The mortgage industry is extremely complicated. It changes by the day. This business is never boring. As soon as you think you know everything about this industry, changes occur either before the day is out or the first thing the next morning. And with that in mind, I fully understand why everyday consumers end up getting themselves into situations with products that haven't been really fully explained to them. A lot of these lines of credit, the documents that are prepared, a lot of people don't even actually know that that secured lines of credit or HELOCs actually are second mortgages registered against your property. And the number of people, when I've talked to them about that, have absolutely no idea that if their line of credit, if anything happens with it, if they can't make the payments, their property is up for sale, the same as it is if they don't make their payments on their mortgage. The other things that we find out about these lines of credit, and people are finding out today in the last 6 months or so, that these lines of credit are actually demand loans, The interest rate agreement that they put in place a year or 2 years ago, where the interest rates were being charged at prime, lenders are now notifying customers that we're changing your interest rate. Instead of that prime even that we were doing, we're now going to charge you prime plus one or prime plus 1.5. And people are saying, well, no, that's not my agreement. I agreed to pay prime even. And what they're finding out is that these are actually demand notes
that act like second mortgages.
And what that really means is, if you don't like the new interest rate and you don't want to pay that new interest rate, the bank says, well, that's fine. Just give us back our money. We want all of it. We don't want the payment. Just give us that $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 that you owe on your line of credit, and everybody's happy. So they are secured. They are wrapped into your property. They are demand loans. If they don't like what's happened in your financial world, if you've lost your job or if your payment performance is not happening, they can actually call or demand the balance of the borrowing. And the documents that are typically signed for these lines of credit, secured lines of credit, are actually prepared in-house by their own legal teams or companies that have been set up to handle that function for them. And now people are sitting down, signing these documents, not even knowing that there's being either a first mortgage or a second mortgage being registered against their property. All they've heard is a line of credit or a HELOC. And the person that's sitting down signing the documents are not pointing out any of the control that the lender actually has on it. So my own opinion on that in itself is a weakness, that if you had your own independent lawyer go out and do the work for you, at least you got a reasonably good opportunity for them to take some time and say, listen, do you really know what you're doing with this? And here's the downside of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know none of us likes to pay a lawyer's fee for something like this, but it can save you so much grief in the end. And you really do need independent legal advice. It can't be stressed too much. There's a lot of places where the law requires it in terms of real property transactions, but this isn't one of them. And so all the terms and conditions that are written into a line of credit contract are there strictly for the lender's benefit, not yours. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that because you haven't gotten good legal advice to tell you so.
And in a lot of cases, the financial institutions are actually charging you $450 or $500 as a setup fee to get this line of credit anyway. So you have them basically selling the product. You have a legal company that's doing the paperwork based on the bank's criteria and what they're looking for in the paperwork, and it's certainly not bent in your best interest. It's bent in the best interest of the lender, and who's explaining the paperwork to you? And you're actually paying for it. So the whole thing is not consumer friendly in terms of disclosure as to what the products are, and that's where we get into this. We're going to do you a favor. Your house is worth $400,000. We're only going to give you $3,000, but just in case your property values go up, we'll register for the full $400,000, and you can draw against it down the road when your property value goes up. It's presented in a very nice way, but in reality, you've now signed over all of the equity in your home, which if your financial world went upside down tomorrow, the financial institution is now in a position, because you've signed over all the equity in your home, they can basically collect from the sale of your home to get first dibs at paying off any credit card debt you have, any overdrafts, any personal loans, because you've signed away all the equity based on the fact that somebody was going to do you a favor.
And you might not even know you've done it. So the long and short of this is, no one likes doing their homework. No one likes paying lawyer's fees, but you better do it anyway. It's good for you, and down the road, it's going to save you a lot of money and some grief, quite possibly. Always good advice. And it's always good to get a second opinion about these things as well. When you were talking about the brokerage fees, it's like, you know, I didn't know that anything over 1% was unusual. I don't think a lot of people probably know that.
In this area, it is. Now, in Toronto, no. Vancouver, Calgary, no. It's a much hotter market, and they're able to demand and get bigger brokerage fees. But in this area, 1 to 1.5 is it.
Well, and that's in all fairness, there are exceptions to each and every rule. And even if we're doing a private second mortgage for $30,000, we're not going to do that with a 1% fee. that, you know, that just isn't going to pay for it. So it's all within reason. Nothing's carved in stone. We, in our operation, we basically do things that are based on the value of the job, mm-hmm. and the more the bigger the number that's attached to it, then the numbers get adjusted in terms of percentages. And I've been a firm believer for a long time. It's not percentages that you take to the bank. It's always dollars. And nobody that I know of in the industry would ever do a private second mortgage for $30,000 for 1% fee and collect $300 for your effort.
No, they're more likely to collect $1,000, $1,200 for a job
flat,
like that.
It'll be flat fee in that particular case, but it's all fair. If the deal doesn't sound either good, or if the deal sounds too good to be true, that you've now been successful in getting a mortgage that nobody else has been able to put together for you, and somebody with the golden helmet came along, and now they've done this thing, and it's not going to cost you anything, just sign here, and everybody's happy. It's the golden rule. If it's too good to be true, sounds too good to be true, there's probably something wrong with it.
So now that we know the pitfalls that await us, and we've got some warning, we know what we should be doing, the next question is, now that you've frightened us all, is it still a good time to get into the housing market?
If you deal with the right people.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. If you aren't in a house now, and you want to be, this is the best time. Like, there's an adage in the financial community that money borrowed today is cheaper than money borrowed tomorrow. And right now, it couldn't be truer. So if you have to squeeze a little bit and tighten up a little bit to buy that house today, you are going to see a return because of this unique housing market. We'll bring this into the next one. The rates are so low, you know, under 4%. And that can be locked in for the next 5 years. And the market hasn't turned red hot. We now know that we've bottomed out and we're starting the incline up. So get in here somewhere near the bottom of this market, rather than looking down the road in 2 or 3 years and you're now at the top of the market and houses have increased 4 or 5 or 6%. Get in now, and in the course of the next 4 or 5 years, you take that increase of those. You know, so if you've got a $200,000 home, you know, you could be looking at a $10,000 or $12,000 increase in that property over the next 4 or 5 years, rather than having to pay it over the next 4 or 5 years. And you're getting it at an interest rate that's so low, it's almost like free.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a couple of minutes after we take our next break. We'll also talk about what makes this housing market unique, and we'll take your questions. If you've got a question for Kevin or Ann, do give us a call. The lines are open at 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, it's always toll-free at 1-800-570-5715 or *570 on your cell phone. More of Ask the Experts with Power Mortgages in just a few minutes here on 570 News. And welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages. You can find out more online at powermortgages.ca or give them a call at 519-886-1993. Time once again for Kevin's Power Mortgages Ask the Expert show specials.
All right, 5-year fixed-term mortgage interest rates with 120-day closing, 3.89%. Mm. We will further reduce that to 3.79%. For 30-day quick closes, and for the Super Dave special. For the first 3 callers after the show, all you have to do is call my cell and say, Super Dave Calendar told me to call and take advantage of 3.69% for the next 30 days on any mortgages that you're buying a home, refinancing a mortgage, or doing a switch transfer on any mortgages that are coming due. Give us a call. 10-year fixed-term mortgage interest rate, 5.20% with 120-day closing, further reduced to 5.10% for a 30-day close, and our variable-rate mortgage at prime minus 0.10% based on today's bank prime, 2.15%. Almost like free.
Okay. Well, if you'd like any of the show specials you just heard, including the one linked to my name, who knew the power I wielded, give Kevin a call right after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 519-240-2967.
Yeah, I have to make all those sound effects because I don't have a button here I could push for them.
Ah, that's true. We'll work on that for the next time you're in.
All right, or
let
not.
Let me make a note. Anne wants little sound effects. Okay, good. Before the break, we're talking about the fact that this is really a great time to get into the housing market. What is making this housing market so unique?
Low interest rates. Low. Like, unbelievably low. You know, and low that you can lock in, not just for a year or 2 years, but you can lock in for 5 years. And that is a long look down the road for most people. What I like to say in developing a mortgage strategy, here you are today, but look down the road. Where will you be in 5 years in terms of your jobs and your income, your family? You know, where is it that you want to be, and how do you see yourself getting there? And part of that is that you can say, okay, today I'm making $50,000, but I expect in 5 years from now I will be making $60,000 or $70,000. Our household income will have increased by 10 or 20% over that 5 years. So that you can say, for that entire 5 years, we are able to pay this mortgage payment and do it comfortably each year, because each year our income is going up and up and up. And when 5 years comes, if our interest rate goes up, our income has gone up substantially, and we'll still be able to afford to make that payment. We'll still be able to stay in this house, or we may even be able to move up and also look at how much equity you've created in that property over that time period as well. And that's like money in your bank. You know, it is a long-term forced savings. You've decreased the principal over the 5 years, and you've increased the equity or the market value over that period of time. So if you go in with 10% equity, over that period of time, you may end up with 20 or 25% equity in this property.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying a $275,000 mortgage today at today's interest rates, on a 35-year amortization, your payment on it is approximately $1,200 a month, principal and interest. So it's a great time to get into the market. The payments, based on today's interest rates, really are in the ballpark of what some people are paying for rent. Even though home ownership is without a doubt more expensive than renting in the greater scheme of things, because you have property taxes, you have utility costs no matter what. However, what you are doing by having your own mortgage and making your own payments is, however long it takes you to pay it off, whether 20 years or 30 or 35 years, at the end of the amortization, when you've made your last payment, you do own a property. And if you continue to rent, what you do have at the end of that same timeline is a stack of receipts, and you've paid for somebody else's property.
Point taken. And it's a good point to make. But as you're saying, $1,200 a month, a lot of people are paying more than that in rent on large apartments. I mean, actually not even large apartments. So it's a good time to get into the market. But say someone really wants to, they want to buy their first home, but they don't have the down payment right now, or they don't have enough for the down payment. What then?
Well, there are some programs. And on the last show that I was in on 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Affordable Home Ownership Program through the region of Waterloo. For people that have combined household incomes of under, I think it's $68,000, I forget the numbers on it, the region will actually contribute the 5% down for new home construction only, up to a purchase price of $213,000. And there's also flexible down payment programs where if your income and your debt service ratios in terms of the amount of debt that you're currently carrying, you can actually borrow your down payment on a separate payment, personal loan, line of credit, or credit card, family members. Any of that is acceptable, so long as you have the income to carry the debt. Or there are legitimate cashback mortgages that can be used for down payment purposes as well, and or closing costs. So there's lots of different options that are available for qualified people with good jobs, income, and credit history to become homeowners.
And for those who already own a home and but they're renewing or refinancing, is that also a good time to do it now?
It certainly is. And if people are looking at renegotiating pre-maturity date of their existing mortgage, they are looking at penalties in most cases. And that's really a case-by-case scenario where we can sit down, we can determine what the penalties are and look at the advantages of taking advantage of today's lower interest rates today, and as opposed to waiting for 2 years from now for the mortgage to mature.
If you're refinancing, there's any number of reasons why you might be refinancing, but one of them is that you may have, over the course of this recession, experienced some loss of income and have used consumer loans and credit cards to tide you over that rough spot, and you now find yourself with a fairly large debt that has a substantial interest rate attached to it. A better way to handle this huge debt with the high interest rate is to put it on, to incorporate it into your mortgage at this time and pay this very low interest rate of under 4%. That will help you eliminate that debt much more quickly than if it stood on the credit cards or as a consumer loan. The payments that you would have put out for these credit card debts can be applied to your mortgage and help you decrease that mortgage much more quickly than if it had stood alone. But if you really need that breathing space, then it can lower all those payments and keep your financially flexible and your cash flow good at this time.
Always some good advice. And if you'd like more good advice, or you just want to know the name of a good mortgage broker, how about giving Kevin and Ann a call at Power Mortgages at 519-886-1993. You can go online as well to powermortgages.ca, and you'll find their offices at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, where knowledge and service make the difference. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and your next show.
Okay, I will, and we'll see you again in a few weeks where we will continue this discussion and many, many others, I'm sure, as well. Noon News is next, and stick around.